La 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 la. Inspired by true events, the greatest podcast to be broadcast into your brain.
Welcome, welcome. This is Inspired by Movies, the podcast where we talk about movies and the real stories that inspired them. My name is MK. My pronouns are they, them.
My name is Courtney, or Cake, or Pancake, and my pronouns are she, they.
My name is Emily, and my pronouns are she, her.
Today, we are talking about the movie A Nightmare on Elm Street. Can I just say that this movie haunted my nightmares as a kid? Like, I made the mistake of watching it when I was really young.
Uh-oh.
I had a nightmare about him that following night, and I was like...
And then you're like, of course I'm going to die.
Yeah, clearly. He's going to kill me. So, like, pretty much throughout my entire childhood, I would, like, have random dreams about...
Oh, no.
So I'm glad that Baby MK did not know that that was based on real events.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the, what's the word I'm looking for, privilege of not seeing it as a child. I watched it for the first time as an adult.
I did, too.
Yeah.
My mom was not about letting me watch scary movies.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, it just wasn't really a thing in my household, but I saw Gremlins too young. And I think maybe that might have been, like, my parents were just like, okay, no scary movies at all in this house. I saw, like, Gremlins when I was too young, and it fucked me up bad. It was just like...
That's how I feel like it was for me, but, like, The Last Unicorn.
The Last that Unicorn.
Is, fun fact, that's Paul's favorite movie of all time.
Unicorn! I actually really love that movie too.
It's such a great movie.
It's so crazy.
But I can see where it would have fucked you up as a kid.
Oh yeah. Like watching it as an adult with those memories as a kid being like, yeah, I can totally see how that would fuck me up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like there's... that tree with the tits.
Oh my God.
I don't know. So I identify with that unicorn.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I do.
That's because you're a unicorn.
Well, according to Mary Lambert, I'm Unicourtney.
She called her a Unicourtney when we met her.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I am not kidding you.
What the fuck? That's amazing.
Queen herself. She's my queen.
Yeah, she's amazing. Truly.
Love her.
I know.
So much. They keep me warm.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm three shots in, so.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great. Nightmare on Elm Street. This is Emily's pick, so take it away, Emily.
All right. Well, Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. We have Heather Langenkamp as Nancy Thompson. We have Johnny Depp as very first role. He looks like such a little baby.
Such a baby boy.
Tiny baby. Anyway, he's Glenn Lance. Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger, and Amanda Wiss as Tina Gray. We open on some very scary knife glove making montage. Who doesn't love a montage?
We
love a montage here.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a good montage.
Of course, I always watch things with subtitles because I don't know why. I just have to read my movies.
Yeah, I do too.
And the first thing I saw was raspy breathing.
There's a lot of that.
Lots of that.
They show an image of a girl running in a drippy hallway in her white nightgown. Somebody's off screen whispering, "Psst, Tina," like to her. And it's clear that she's running from someone or something through this like factory-like building. And then she encounters this really fucked up looking dude who's got a messed up looking face. And mm-hmm. He's got scary knives for hands.
Mm-mm.
He pops out, scares her, and she wakes up with a start. So clearly she was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom comes in to check on her.
Jesus.
This is ridiculous. And she's like, it's just a dream, mom. And she looks at her nightgown and it's all like torn up. And she's just like, you got to cut your fingernails or stop that kind of dreaming. Mm. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, mom.
Right? Like,
what the hell?
It doesn't help anyone.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, she's like...
How could her nails do that?
Yeah, it seems like so... And her nails would have to be so...
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on the parents.
I'm like,
whatever. Fucking...
You can hear me trying to tear my shirt here.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't been having those kinds of dreams.
I surely have not. I definitely have not. My nightmares are nothing like this.
And so then we have the whole, like, the little Freddy rhyme, the iconic 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you, 3, 4, you know, we all know it. I don't gotta do it. They pull up in this real nice car. Tina, Nancy, and Glenn all get out of the car and they meet up with Rod, who's a dickhead. And Tina's telling everybody about her nightmare that she had. It's clear that it shook her up pretty bad.
Brad's like, I had a hard-on this morning your name written on it. And Tina was like, what? She's like, my name has 4 letters and there's no way that there's room for 4 letters on your dick. I was like,
that was a pretty sick burn.
Right? Seriously. I'm like,
what's the font, Tina?
What's the font? Cut two. The three of them, Nancy, Tina, and Glenn, are all at Tina's house?
Yeah.
Tina's. I put Nancy's house. The three of them are at Tina's house because Tina is so scared about these nightmares that she's been having that she does not want to be sleeping alone.
That's saying something.
That's really saying something.
If you had been like, hey, I've had these insane nightmares and I don't feel safe alone.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no questions. Yeah. Like, okay, it's scaring you that bad that you have called your friends over for a nightmare?
Yeah.
Problems.
That's fucking problems right there. Mm-hmm. And so I like the little like trick that Glenn's trying to do to trick his mom. Because like he's like saying he's staying over his cousin's house who lives by the airport. And so he's like playing this tape of airport sounds. While he's like talking to her on the phone. They hang up the phone after the tape starts just like, there's motorcycle crash or something playing on the tape and there's
screaming
and it's just, oh gosh. So they managed to hang up the phone.
Whoops.
And Nancy starts telling Tina that she had a really similar nightmare to hers. And as they're talking about that and like the finger knives, they hear a sound outside, a scream coming from outside.
Nope.
And so they decide to go looking for what made the sound.
Ugh. Why can't...
Why would you do that?
People just stay inside.
Yeah. Just stay inside. It's okay. If the scary noises are outside, stay inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Inside.
If they need to come to you, then they'll come to you. No need to go explore about it.
Don't go to them. Mm-mm. Don't make their job easier.
No. You know? Like, why would you? No. This is, like, number one reason why I hate fucking scary movies. Like,
I know.
Just stay together and stay inside. Lock the doors.
At least they did stay together when they went outside. That's true. Smushed together very closely.
It was very cute.
It was super cute. Little baby Johnny Depp.
I think it's funny that when he walks outside, he's like, I'm going to punch your, what does he say? I'm going to punch your ugly lights out, whoever you are.
Johnny Depp's being real macho. Oh,
yeah. He's a macho jock. And
it's so weird for me to see him in prep,
right?
I'm like, who is that?
Who's that?
Little boy. How old is he in this?
I have no idea.
21.
21?
Yeah.
He looks like my 12-year-old godson. And I don't know if that just means that my 12-year-old godson looks really grown up. Yeah. Or if baby Johnny Depp just looks like a real baby.
He had a real baby face.
He had a real baby face.
He still does. He does not look
That's
his
true.
Age.
That's true. True.
Like, he's been drinking some elixir.
Right. I think it's just like the famous people in general. They have enough money that...
Like Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. Like, they're always just
Tilda Swinton? I guarantee you know who she is.
Oh, I'm sure I do. But yeah. What's she in?
Oh, God, shoot. Have you seen Suspiria?
She's in Doctor Strange.
Oh, she's in Doctor Strange.
She's in We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yep. She's in The Dead Don't Die. Which you haven't seen yet. She plays a Scottish samurai.
Yeah, she's in Doctor Strange, she's like the main, like...
Oh, she's like monk lady?
Yeah.
Or, no, I think they are non-binary.
Are they? Tilda Swinton?
Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't know.
Well... I feel like I've heard that, actually.
I haven't heard that at all.
Maybe not. I don't know. More and more people are coming out as non-binary, and it makes me so happy.
She identifies as queer.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, baby.
Always felt she was queer, rejects gender boundaries.
Neat.
Maybe gender fluid or something, which I would 100% see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
How old is Tilda Swinton?
I don't know, but she never ages.
Yeah.
Google it.
I love Tilda Swinton so much.
I know. Me too.
My whole entire heart.
Mm-hmm.
61.
Hey.
What?
61.
I thought you said 21 for a second. I was like, what? Excuse me. What the hell?
You mean Tilda Swinton Jr.?
Yeah. Johnny Depp's 59.
Anyway.
Katie, Katie, ciao, ciao. And then you get a jump scare. Well, he like turns around. He like looks at Nancy and Tina. And he shrugs his shoulders. He's like, there's nothing out here. And then he gets tackled. And
you never turn your back to the enemy, okay?
You never turn your back to the sound.
No. Clearly it's your enemy.
Clearly it is not someone who is trying to like bring you a cake or something. If they're screaming on your window.
Yeah.
Nope. No, thank you.
They're not there for good reasons.
No. Nobody comes to your house with that noise with a good intention.
No.
Nope. Come back. Turns out it's Rod, Tina's boyfriend.
Ew.
And he's gross. And I guess they got in a fight. Nancy's whatever was having a sleepover. Get out of here. Doesn't work. And then he's like, we get the mom's bed and you guys get everything else.
Gross.
It's just
icky. I would never want to do it in my mom's bed.
I know. I don't understand that.
Is that a kink?
I think it's like a
power thing.
Yeah.
But it's like,
it's like I fucked your daughter in your bed.
Ew. It's, yeah. It's a power thing and it's really icky.
It's really gross. Mm-hmm. He is like toxic masculinity a T.
Oh, absolutely.
500%.
Oh, yeah.
After they're having sex.
Oh, God.
Like, Jane.
Jungle Man fixed Jane.
Oh, yeah. God.
I'm like, no. And like so how they're fucking somehow made her, like, what is this? The diagnosis of hysteria? I needed to fuck some sense into you.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like, and he's all like, no more fighting. She's like, no more fighting. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, they are fucking supposed to be teenagers. So well, I don't expect
an adult fucking a teenager. So there's that.
I thought he was still in school.
Was he?
I thought he was too. I thought they went to all went to school together. But
that.
You know what? She's 15. Still gross. In reality, she was like 23.
God. And they cast her as a 15-year-old.
Yeah. I was like, not even like 17, 16 and a half. But like
18. Come on. Why you got to make it so young?
Oh, what is it? Like post-coital?
Gross. Yeah, they're post-coital like that, for a lack of any better term at all. And he starts talking to her about his nightmare, about how he had a spooky nightmare about this guy too.
Guys can have nightmares, you know.
You don't got a corner on the market.
Yeah, it's like she just
what an asshole, dude.
It's like she just found out that Nancy was having like dream, like nightmaring about the same guy,
same dude.
And so if you say nightmares, but whatever, you know what? Rod sucks.
He's got to be macho.
But
so you know.
Cut to Nancy sleeping. And the crucifix that was on the wall falls. And it wakes her up and she's like, yeah, whatever. And then Tina wakes up and because she hears rocks hitting on her window. And then it's just like more and more rocks. And then like one rock like breaks the window a little bit.
A little crack.
That part scared me as a kid. I was like, oh my God.
It makes throwing pebbles at your window not as fun anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to do that.
And then there's a man whispering Tina. She's like, who do you think you are? Whoever you are. She's like standing at the window. Mm-mm. You can tell she's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to stand up to this person. It's just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut to Nancy again. And she's sleeping. And then someone spooky like comes through the wall. Mm-hmm. And like.
Iconic.
Hovers over her.
Ghostly spookies coming out of the wall.
Ghostly poopies.
But yeah, spooky, like yes. Hovering over her. You can tell there's claws of sorts. Does she see it? Or does she just like get that weird sense of...
She does not see it. She just gets like the weird, like the sense of like somebody watching you, you know, she doesn't see it, but she does like turn around mm-hmm. and then she like it, obviously it disappears and she knocks on the wall, assuming to like reassure Tina that she's still there. Mm-hmm. Just being a good friend.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why she knocked on the wall?
I mean, that's what I assume is why she knocked on the wall.
I thought she knocked on the wall to make sure that it was solid.
Oh, I don't know. Did she see it? I feel like I would fucking freak out if I saw that. She would seem really calm.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, when I am in situations like that in my dreams, I usually freeze up and then deal with it.
Maybe she saw like the end part
a little
something.
I don't know. I guess there's like, there could be lots of theories on that.
Well, and then she like puts the crucifix on the wall. And then she knocks.
And Griff had a theory on that.
Yeah, we like watched the father.
With Griff.
Yeah. She said,
what's her theory?
Like knocking for like the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Like if that's a Catholic thing.
Yeah. But was it four times or three times?
She said three. I didn't pay attention to that detail. But that's where her mind went, was like, what if that's a Catholic thing?
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I like that we have all these different theories.
Yeah. Right?
That's neat.
You want to hear what I wrote?
I do. I really do.
Knock four times on the wall if you want me not to kill you.
Oh my God. I hate you. Everyone, if I ever say I hate you to either of these two humans, it actually means I love you. That's a thing for me.
Okay? Yeah.
Don't take it literally, please.
We don't actually hate each other. It's quite the opposite.
Yes, quite the opposite.
Oh, Tina leaves.
Yeah, she walks outside.
Why are you leaving?
In just a shirt.
Just a shirt. Dumps.
At least put on some pants.
Stay inside. Stay inside your house. She is walking down her lawn, and she's still hearing somebody whispering her name. And she goes out into the alleyway, and she's startled by a trash can lid that comes rolling out and crashes on the ground. And then...
How does that happen? Just a random trash can lid rolling down the alley.
Well, it is a dream.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
And also, there's a spooky guy.
Yeah,
he might have made that. Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, so then go back inside.
Oh, well, yeah. And see, that's when she should have never left. Like, I have it in my notes. Tina leaves. Why are you leaving?
Exactly.
And then Freddy shows up, and he's got really long arms. Does anybody know why? Is it just to be scary?
Yeah.
Because he never has long arms again in the movie.
Yeah. I think it's just because he like wants to scratch his claws.
And he can't reach unless his arms are super long.
Wants to be like, like in the middle.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah.
When I first saw it for the first time, that scene scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
With like the way he runs.
Like accordion arms.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's like super long arms, and the way he runs is fucking horrifying.
It makes me think of those toys that like retract and like kind of like punching toys.
Oh, like Rock'em Sock'em.
Oh yeah.
Robots.
But like sideways.
I can't. So she's running back to the house, and he's like, Tina, check this out. And she looks at me, just cuts off a couple of his own fingers.
He's like, ha ha.
And me, I think I remember saying this while we were watching, like, why did you stop and turn around to watch?
Why did you run?
Just run. Keep running. Why did you take the opportunity to stop, watch him, be freaked out, then turn around and run again?
Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, clearly this person does not have your best intentions in mind. And if they ask you, hey, look at this. No, anything they want to show you, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, don't look.
Just
don't
run.
Just run. Yeah. Just run. It's fine. Nobody's going to be mad that you ran.
I will admit, though, that if I was being chased, even though I was being chased, and someone was like, hey, MK, I'd be like, huh? Like, someone? I'm like, was that someone else? Or
again, it's like, oh gosh, what episode was it when we were saying, like, you never know how you're going to react.
That's
true. It was disappointments. You never know how you're going to react
when the situation comes.
Until it's your turn to be chased by an immortal dream monster.
Exactly.
You know? You never know.
Have we talked about that TikTok thing where people are like acting as if Michael Myers is chasing them with the fast walk, like the slow fast walk?
No.
There's a thing on TikTok right now where people are given like an allotted amount of time to go and run and try to get into their door with their keys. Mm-hmm. And then someone acts as if they're like Michael Myers, like walking like the big steps, like to come after you. Yeah, the videos that I've seen are not successful.
Oh, no.
Right? Are they allowed to have, like, their keys in their hand? Or do
they have everything they need. Like, they have to, like, run to their door and then, like...
unlock it.
And I don't know what the rules are, but, like a few seconds later, like, the killer comes walking behind them.
Mm.
But they're allowed to run. So it's like, you know, one of those things where it's like, you're running, but Michael Myers is walking and somehow still catches up to you.
God.
Right? This movie was like, because we play that video game Dead by Daylight,
mm-hmm.
and Freddy is a killer.
Yeah.
And there's a Springwood map. And so the whole time I was like, I know how this basement goes.
Like, I know everything about this shit.
I know it goes around. Anyways.
Wrong turn.
Carry on.
So he tackles her and she tears his face off. And that's just a lot. And it shows her thrashing in bed with like with him, you know, attacking her under the sheets. But then it also cuts to what Rod is seeing, and Rod is seeing her being attacked brutally by nothing. She's screaming, he's screaming, she's being like dragged up the wall and onto the ceiling, and she's covered in blood, and Rod has no fucking clue what's going on. He's like screaming at whatever is happening. Of course, Nancy and Glenn hear what's going on, and they're trying to get into the room, and they finally are able to bust down the door, and Rod is gone. You know, he has escaped out the window.
Because he knows he's fucked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, no one's going to believe that he didn't do it.
For real.
Yeah.
Tina is dead.
Just dead. And there's just blood everywhere. That's just so horrifying, thinking about, like, that situation and how she asked her friends to come over. And even when they were, like, Nancy and Glenn were trying to get into the room, you could hear Rod saying, like, who did this? I'll kill you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
could you imagine just being Rod and just, like, trying to explain, like, it literally was nothing.
It was nothing.
So fucked, man.
So scary.
That type of shit is my nightmare, of trying to explain that you didn't do something, but everyone thinks you did.
Uh-huh.
That's literal nightmares of mine. Like, it doesn't matter what it was, I'm being blamed for something that I didn't do, and there's no way to prove that I didn't.
I feel that. I feel that in a big way. Absolutely.
They're at the police station.
Poor Nancy.
I know.
Her dad's a cop.
Yep,
her dad's definitely wearing eyeliner.
Oh, most definitely.
Dad is?
Yeah.
Dad is.
Oh.
Well, and now I'm thinking about him and I'm like, oh yeah.
They're talking about Rod, delinquent musician type. Tina's mom is in Vegas with her boyfriend, and there were three other kids with them. One of them was Nancy. The dad walks into the office, and Nancy and the mom are there. The parents are divorced. They're like, hey, Marge, nice to see you. How have you been? You know?
Me.
Talking about Rod, how they got in a fight, how he may be abusive. And Nancy's like, he's not like that. And then Nancy says that Tina dreamt it was going to happen. And I wrote, here we go with the fucking parents not listening to her kids. And then the mom's like, what, you don't take murder seriously? And Nancy's like, how can you say that I don't take her death seriously?
Seriously. Right. You know? That scene pisses me the fuck off.
Really bad.
How dare you tell somebody who just basically witnessed their friend's murder.
Yeah.
Like, brutally. Blood, like, everywhere.
Tell them, I guess you don't think murder is a big deal. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
That's so fucked, man.
Next morning, Nancy's walking down. There's a news program going. This is where we find out that Tina's only 15. Nancy's wearing a hell of a sweater vest.
Mm. Oh, hell yeah. Love that sweater vest.
Yes.
Her mom's like, where are you going? And Nancy's going to school. Mom wants her to stay home. Nancy's not sleeping, fucking chugging coffee.
Poor thing.
I know. She says she'll sleep in study hall, which is funny. She's just like, I'll sleep at school. No big deal.
Yeah, right.
Right. at least people will hopefully catch her if she's being murdered.
Right. That's true.
Because we know mom won't do shit.
Mom's not all that concerned.
Jesus Christ.
I know. They're like, just get some sleep. It's like,
everyone wants her to sleep. It's like, no, that's what's going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I'm sitting here trying to tell you that he's in our nightmares. Anyways, she's walking to school. She notices some guy in a suit, cop looking motherfucker following her. And then Rod pops out of the bushes and takes her in. And he's like, I'm not going to hurt you.
And why you got to take her so violently?
Yeah, right? That's what I always kind of was just like, if you didn't want her to panic and freak out, why did you jump out of the bushes, cover her mouth, and pull her into the bushes?
Exactly. She's your friend. You can just like grab her hand and be like, or even just stay in the bushes.
Do
and
a
be
little
like,
psst.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Nancy. Anyways, super dramatic. She asks him if he did it. And he's like, no. And he's like trying to tell her what happened. But then the dad interrupts. Rod runs, but he gets arrested anyway.
He gets got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nancy's like, you used me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she like stands in front of the dad because he goes to chase after Rod. She like gets in the way.
Didn't he like go to pull his gun?
He already had his gun
out. And she like jumped in front. Like, could you? Okay. So you're 15. Like, I get wanting to be like, no, I'm going to protect my. What if her dad had just straight up shot her? Like, don't get in front of a, like, oh gosh. Anyway. Yeah.
He is an idiot cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idiot. They're all dumb in this situation. It cuts to classroom. Lynn Shay plays the teacher. Do you guys know Lynn Shay as an actress? Lynn Shay is a great actress. Did you guys ever see Insidious? Plays the medium.
Oh.
Who comes to the house.
Oh.
She's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have I seen Insidious?
I don't know. I don't think we've ever watched it.
It's another scary dream.
Oh, yeah. Definitely didn't see it then.
Yeah. It's scary. Yeah, no. It's the, what is that song though?
Tiptoe through the doorknobs of the room. Yeah. But like a monster is dancing to it. Scary.
You fucking ruined that song. There's a lot of assholes.
Whatever.
Anyways. And of course you two are gonna make me watch it at some point.
I love that movie so much.
Animal from the Muppets is in it.
Who?
Animal.
Really?
There was that scene where it like shows the monster and it only like glances at it for a second, right? I was just like, is that fucking Animal?
Oh, when he's behind
it? Yeah. Like that's the first thing.
Animal from the Muppets? It's
the first thing that popped into my mind. I was like, that looks like Animal. And then like it kind of like helped me get through the rest of the movie because that movie's fucking scary.
It is really scary.
Once I saw that, I was like, okay. I could deal with this.
Anyway, Lynn Shay is the teacher and she's just so sweet. She's teaching her class Shakespeare. Nancy is clearly having trouble staying awake, and she's just kind of like nodding off at her desk. She drifts off, falls asleep. Oh, poor thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like looking out the door from the classroom into the hallway, and she sees Tina in a clear body bag standing there. Yes.
So that body bag, she was really in that body bag. Also,
was it used?
Yeah.
Stop it. No, I was joking.
Yeah, from the local morgue.
That's where they got it. Is it like a Dune situation where like she didn't find out until afterwards?
I think they told her as it was happening. You know, like she said it was so terrifying.
No. To be in there?
Yeah, to be in that body bag because it's all bloody and shit.
And she has to spend quite a bit of time in that body bag.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways.
So how do you know that thing is actually cleaned properly?
You don't.
Unless they clean it themselves, which I'm sure, well, you know what? It was a pretty low budget film.
Like, pretty amazing for how low budget it was. God, I can't wait to hear all of your production. Anyway.
Okay. What's with these costume people?
What is it with Hollywood and used body bags? I mean, really.
I've had enough.
So she starts following this trail of blood down the hallway in the school.
No.
And this scene also scared the shit out of me when she like looks down the hallway and she just sees Tina in the body bag. Her legs are lifted and she's dragged away by nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just that one shot when I saw it for the first time scared the shit out of me.
No. Same. Yeah, same.
I was like, that is like made my blood run cold.
Yep. God. Thank you. For some reason, people like you two enjoy movies like this. So
it's a great movie.
It's so good. Oh, and then she runs into a hall monitor.
The hall monitor's like nose is bleeding right away.
Right. And it's a
right away.
She's wearing the hall monitor's wearing the green and red striped sweater that that Freddie wears. She's like, no running in the hallway, and she wiggles her knife fingers at her. And
gross.
Nancy's following the blood down these stairs. Big sign that says no students allowed. She goes in anyway because she's following a trail of blood, because why not? Why wouldn't you? And she goes into the boiler room.
Okay, so this is a giant boiler room.
It's humongous.
Like, this is a factory, not a fucking school boiler.
And so it is, I mean, it's like the boiler room that, like, she finds Freddy, who is full of Nickelodeon slime and worms.
He's like, look.
He like slime cuts and worms.
He just like cuts himself open, and it's just green goop and worms.
It's just so like, and I think that's what like makes him so scary, is that he'll like stop and be like, hey, check this out, and just like cut off his fingers, you know.
Who is that in Drag Race? Gooped.
Oh, Monique Hart.
Yes, yeah. Monique Hart.
Goop. Did you break it?
No, but I scared myself.
Yeah, Monique Hart. Instead of gagged, it's gooped. Like gooped. Nickelodeon gooped. I like love slimed.
That. Yes. That's amazing.
I kind of hate it, but I also love it.
I can see where you would hate it, but also love it.
So do you guys know how like Freddy's stance, like one of his shoulders is lower than the other?
Uh-huh.
The reason why it's like that is because that glove was so heavy, it just like Robert Englund like couldn't straighten it out.
Really?
So that was just like natural.
He just let it happen.
He just like couldn't. And I mean, it's scary.
How heavy is that glove?
I don't know. That glove was really intense.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if a grown man was having trouble even just like standing and holding it up,
The things that people said about that glove is funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like the first time Robert Englund put it on, he like went like this. And the effects guy was like, no. And he like cut himself because it was like fucking
Explain
sharp.
What you just did.
Oh, I like moved my hand that kind of clenched it into a fist a little bit.
Why would they make it actually sharp? You would think that with the budget,
right?
They wouldn't. Yeah. They would be it's going to be styrofoam.
You know? Well, I mean, that would probably be more expensive than just grabbing real knives.
Yeah, because he
I guess you're right.
Because he just like put it together. He was like, all right, let's see if I can make this. And he did. And then Robert Englund said he got better and better with it. And he was able to like poke out like fruit
the little
and stuff.
The little weenies.
Yeah, like the little weenies, like craft services. He's like able to pick stuff up.
I love that. Oh, that makes me so happy. He's just eating little smokies.
Glove.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, I just love how it wasn't intentional at all. It wasn't an acting choice. If you want to, so she's in the boiler room. He cuts himself. She starts running. She like goes and like corners herself.
Yeah,
and he's just the way he walks. Like Robert Englund, he had so much fun with this role.
He did such a great job.
And like they wanted an actor and not just like a stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he like vamped it up. And so he's like walking, like trying, like just being creepy as fuck, trying to scare her. And then he comes up and like starts like attacking her. And then she burns her arm to wake herself up, which I think is really cool. I'm like, fuck yeah, Nancy.
Yeah, she knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She wakes up in class and she's just like screaming.
So why was Jamie Lynn queen of screams? Because I feel like Nancy. Her screams are ridiculous.
Yes, they are very, very good.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was trying to like just be chill last night while we were doing our like millionth time through of watching this movie. And I'm like, can you turn it down, please? Dear God, Nancy. Like, God.
Jamie Lee did come before this movie.
That's
so
fair.
I think maybe she lost her crown because Nancy is definitely...
Nancy can be a princess, not queen.
Those are some choice screams, not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I know you're screaming for your life, but like, Jesus Christ, can you like shut up?
But would you just shut up?
Can you like not?
Could you keep it down, please?
Oh, God. So she wakes up screaming, thrashing in the classroom, and she just decides she's gonna leave. She's like, I'm gonna go straight home. And then Lin Shay is just like, you're gonna need a hall pass. And I'm like, Lin Shay, do you realize what you just saw?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. She doesn't need a hall pass.
Seriously. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you're just letting her leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, to go home. Like, just go on home and leave. Don't have to go check out or anything like that. You're just good to walk.
I mean,
it was the 80s, so.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where it, like, really is solidifying in her mind that what happens in her dreams are happening in real life. Because mm-hmm. she looks down and she saws the burn mark on her arm.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes straight to the police station and she's meeting with Rod. He's still there in the holding cell. She's trying to get answers from him. And he starts explaining that he saw Tina be cut by nothing. He says it was like four invisible razors cutting her at the same time. Then he explains to her that it's just, he mentions having a nightmare yeah. about like that yeah, was like it might not similar have been, like shown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause that's why she like gets all weird and she like turns away. He says to her, do you think I did it? And she turns back. She's like, no. The way she says it makes it sound like she doesn't believe him, but uh-huh. like she's really just having that realization of like, so Tina, Rod, and like now me, we're all having dreaming about the same guy.
Mm-hmm. And Tina's dead.
Uh-huh.
And she's got burn marks. Yeah, so she's leaving. She has that kind of realization. She leaves. Cut to Nancy bathroom. In the tub.
Singing the fucked up lullaby. 1, 2. He's coming for you. It's like, don't sing that.
Don't sing that.
Well, I guess she doesn't. She's just chilling. And you see like a claw come up from in between her legs. And then the mom knocks on her door and it like goes back down.
No.
And the mom's like, don't fall asleep in there. And Nancy's like, Nancy's like, whatever. And
I did have in my notes earlier. It's like Nancy singing the rhyme in the tub falls asleep, which is just so dangerous.
It's like, you haven't slept for days.
Don't be in the tub.
Yeah, like don't, whatever. And so then she falls asleep and she get like sucks into the tub and she's trying to swim out, screaming for her mom. And then she finally like is able to get out. And then her mom breaks in. Nancy's like, what? What's going on? Nothing, no big deal. And her mom's like, you were screaming for me.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, I'm fine, whatever.
Why does she do that? Like, that makes it so much harder for everyone else to believe you when you won't even tell them all the facts.
Yeah.
Well, I think, too, also, she's just, like, I think she's feeling very, like, helpless and,
mm-hmm.
like, nobody's going to listen to her anyway, even if she does yeah. try to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, the times that she has said it, they're like, you just need to get some sleep.
I love how her mom just, like, get a hanger, bust right into that locked door. She's like, mm-hmm. I got this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Seriously. You can't say much of that mom. I feel like she's got like vodka bottles everywhere in the house.
Yeah.
Got you some warm milk.
Oh gosh. Nancy's like, gross. Yeah, I was like,
hold on a sec.
Her mom leaves her alone in the bathroom and Nancy finds those energy pills. And she's like, perfect, you know? She's watching scary movies in bed.
Why the fuck?
Why is she watching scary movies?
I mean, maybe it would help her. Maybe it helps her stay awake.
Maybe to just that's be scared. That's true.
I mean, I feel like I would be scared enough to stay awake anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would let myself lay down.
Mm-mm. I love sleep so much. This movie stresses me out so much just because, like, if there's one thing that I truly believe is like one of the best sensations ever, is that feeling of losing consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you want to, you know, like if you're in your bed and like, I could have one superpower, it would be to be able to consciously be aware of being unconscious. Like,
oh.
I want to enjoy being asleep. Like, you know, you're asleep. You're not experiencing that in a conscious way.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to enjoy being asleep. If that I had any superpower, it would be that. Anyway, sorry.
I feel like I unconsciously do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just love sleep like, so much. Anyway, so she's watching scary movies in bed. She's trying to stay awake, but she keeps nodding off. And then Glenn appears at her window. She is telling him about how she's not sleeping. And she like looks in a mirror. And she's like, oh God, I look like I'm 20 years old. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, Jesus like Christ.
Because you are.
Yeah, she was 19.
I was about to be like, was she like 26?
Whatever. And Glenn comes in.
Yeah, Glenn comes in.
He scares her at the window. Classic boyfriend sneaking in the window.
Climbing the trellis.
They're talking about what happened to her English class. And then she asks him, she wants to go look for someone she needs.
Someone to stand guard.
She needs someone to stand guard. And then it like cuts to her like walking out of her house and it's all foggy and it's all spooky. Nope. She's like walking down the sidewalk.
Nope.
She gets to that same alleyway Mm-mm. that Tina was in.
Nope.
And then she turns back and yells for Glenn and he like pops out from out like behind a tree, which I thought was cool. They're like, because I like how, are you dreaming? What's happening here?
Mm-hmm. I just have a quick question because I've never quite understood. How is he in her dream?
I think it's just
she thinks he's in it.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay.
They talked about in the production stuff is that they wanted it to not seem either. Like, you can't tell.
If she's dreaming or not. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job of that.
Yeah.
They really did. Because if she's, like, freaking out in her sleep, I would imagine that she's, like, talking.
Yeah.
And so. Okay.
That kind of occurred to me just, like, a second ago where I was like, well, maybe she's, like, talking in her sleep and he's responding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could. That's the crazy thing about this movie is they leave so much up to your imagination.
Yeah. I love it.
Just like the ending. Like
the ending's a shit show.
Yeah. Like you can just imagine whatever the fuck you want in that ending.
Oh, I got some stuff to say about the ending. She's walking. She's looking.
Going through the neighborhood and she ends up at the police station.
Yes. Yes. That. She goes up to the window and she sees Rod. Then she sees, like, Freddie, like, walk through the door and then walk through the bars of the jail cell.
Yeah, so fuck that.
Creepy!
Yeah. And she's screaming for Glenn, and Glenn's not answering, of course. And so she's, like, screaming at Rod, but then she looks back for Glenn, and then she looks at Rod, and Freddie's gone.
And then she sees Tina. She's all goopy snakes.
Goopy snakes.
She's like, and she's still in that body bag and she's asking for help. There's snakes. Like, oh yeah, she's like by the bushes and then he like grabs her and then she starts running and he's chasing her. And there's a part where she like grabs her leg when she's running. I think because she said that she got cut by glass because like the set was like really unsafe, you know, low budget.
I'm not surprised at all.
You know, they're trying to cut corners and, you know, because they had like such a limited budget and a limited amount of time. During this chase scene, she cuts her foot. And I wonder if that's where she cuts it because she kind of like grabs
her foot.
I never noticed that.
Yeah. But anyway, she gets into the house and then Freddie like breaks the window for fucking Tina's face.
Yeah.
She's like, help me. Help me. And he's like, from Freddie. And then she like is trying to run up the stairs. And it's like the anxiety ridden, mm-hmm. like she's falling into the stairs.
The stairs are goopy.
Yeah. There's a lot of goop.
It's funny that you said that you brought up that whole thing with like gooped instead of. I use the word goop so much in my notes.
This movie is goopy. There's a lot of goops.
What did they say that was? Goopy. Pancake batter?
Yeah. Well, what? There was like different things being said, but the two most things, it was either oatmeal or pancake batter. Or a mixture of both.
Ew. And
also,
I could see both.
Yeah, that's very creative.
And also, Wes Craven didn't want this in the movie.
He thought it, stairs?
Yeah, he thought it was dumb. But Bob Shea, who's the producer, he was like, people are going to identify with this like anxiety dream mm-hmm. part. Mm-hmm. And so Wes Craven's like, I'm not doing it. So you're going to have to direct the scene. And so, yeah, Bob Shea.
Really?
And like,
oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And Wes Craven's, he doesn't like it. But.
Maybe it is stupid, but I think it packs a punch because we've all had dreams like that where you just can't get away.
Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Like you're just melting into your surroundings.
Yeah. I think it was a good addition.
I think so too.
Anyways, so she finally gets up the stairs. She runs into a room and then She's like, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. And then Freddy like jumps through the mirror. They start wrestling.
Oh, that was a really fucked up part.
Glenn's just sleeping in the chair.
Oh, yeah. He's not a care in the world.
Yeah. You know? He cuts the pillow. There's fucking feathers everywhere rolling around. And then the alarm clock goes off.
Glenn.
You shit.
She's pissed. Yeah. You bastard.
I know. And then the mom comes in. Glenn like runs out the window. When the mom leaves, she calls for Glenn and then she sees like a fucking feather. And that's when she's like, I gotta go to the police station to check on Rod because Freddy was there with him. Mm-hmm. So she goes, her and Glenn, she's like, please let me just check on him. Go and check on him, see if he's okay. And as they're fighting, the dad comes out. They're like trying to convince the cops. And then as that was all happening, the sheet is starting to wrap slowly but surely. He's getting... You know.
Murdered.
Murdered. And yeah. Then.
Mugducked.
And then they're like, okay, but it's already too late. He's fucking getting pulled up the wall. And then as they are about to open the jail cell, his neck is snapped.
Yep. And of course, it's in a way, like Freddy did it in a way that makes it look like he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's going to be like, well, that means he was guilty.
Exactly.
You know, that shit always pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. And then we're at Rod's funeral. Why is it that there's always like religious creepy stuff in scary movies? You know, they're like.
Because religion is scary. Yep.
Yeah. It's like.
Sorry, guys. Like, I'm very. To all our listeners, like, we're all very, like, open and accepting of, like, other people's beliefs and everything.
As long as you're not a dick.
As long as you're not a dick about it. But it's just, like, when it comes to, like, people being scary and awful with it, then, yeah, no, that's fucked up. Wait. That makes religion scary.
I feel like in every scary movie, it's always some sort of, even, like, the prayer. It's like, that prayer is so fucking scary.
That's what...
Because I've only seen it in scary movies.
Well, my notes, because, again, I'm not, like, I wasn't raised Catholic or anything like that. Mm. So, like, when it comes to prayers, like, I'm not... You know, sometimes they're very direct. Sometimes they're just kind of like, woo,
it's not a scripted prayer.
Yeah. Is the thing that the priest says, is that shitty? Because it was weird. Rod and everybody, because it was like, he was like, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Is that like, was that some sort of like shitty implication of like, well, he killed people, so it makes sense that he would kill himself.
That's what I got off of it. Okay. Was that everybody was kind of like treating it as if he was already guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got that. I was just like, wait, is that shitty? Because that sounds like it's probably shitty. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot of passive-aggressive Christian talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yuck.
You know, love the sinner, hate the sin.
I wish I could, like, make a noise that face is. Just like,
You know, it's funny. So we've got, in this scene, we have trees native to Ohio. They're palm trees.
Yeah, okay. See, I had that thought a few times where I kept seeing palm trees. And I was like, wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to be in the Midwest? Right? Okay, so I'm glad that I'm not like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
Every time, like, I saw palm trees, I was like.
Those native Ohio palm trees, right? You know?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Anyways, so this is, like, the only time that the parents are being smart. The mom's like, to the dad, I'm going to go get her some help.
Yep.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. So they take her to the, I wrote it down, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh,
Katcha. Institute.
Katcha?
Katcha. Like, Institute for
like going to Katcha?
It's K-A-T-J-A.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. But it's the Institute for the Study of Sleep Disorders. That's where the mom takes Nancy. And they're like hooking her up to machines. She's like, can't you just give me something that doesn't make me dream?
Right.
And
that would be crazy if they could.
Right.
That would be wild.
That would be wild. Whenever I like go under anesthesia, I never dream.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I don't ever dream when I go under.
I've never been put under anesthesia.
Mm, I would say I've gone under too many times.
That's just so scary to me. I've been put like a twilight. Like I wasn't completely under, and I've been put into like a twilight sort of sedation thing.
Yeah.
That's as close as I've got.
Yeah.
And really, I was just kind of like in that state where I was like almost asleep.
Yeah.
It was yeah. really nice.
They're hooking her up. She gives in, and then she starts to fall asleep, monitoring, like tracking her sleep, like where she's at. Things seem to be going well, but then not anymore. Brain waves are crazy. She's fucking like convulsing in the bed. He's like, they've never been this high before. And she's like freaking out. I feel like they let it go on for a little too long.
Too long.
Yeah. It's like the moment someone starts doing that, you're like, oh, we got to get in there.
We got to interfere with this.
Yeah.
Someone starts convulsing, you don't just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. No. And then they go in and then they wake her up. And this is how you know if something's really scary, if you lose pigment in your hair.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Every time. She went rogue.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She was always my favorite.
Like from under the blanket, she pulls out Freddy's hat. She's like, I brought this out of my dream. Now we're getting
it's
somewhere.
Getting fucking yeah. real, homies.
Reals.
Yeah. Yeah. Really real.
And then they're back at Nancy's house and she walks downstairs and it's the morning. But then she hears her mom talking to someone about how she said that she pulled the hat out of her dream. Which at this point, if I were the parent, because I'm like, I mean, I can go on for days about how I would be a better parent than these parents that were written to be shitty. So maybe never mind.
You and me both.
So the mom's like, I don't know how she got this hat.
Also, it's released later that the parents know this Kruger person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as soon as this daughter has a hat that has his name in it, that's the moment where you should be like, yeah, I know that name. I know where it's connected. Holy fuck, this is some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Well, they seem to also have kind of like when they were leaving the funeral and Nancy is like explaining to both her mother and her father what the guy looks like in her dream. They both kind of like, they it look clicks. At each other and it kind of clicks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like a denial sort of thing where mm-hmm. she's just like, I don't know where she got this hat.
Yeah.
Like how she got this hat. She must have snuck it in somehow, you know.
Yeah. When she knows for a fact that it was burned to a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mom tells Nancy that Fred Krueger is dead. She reveals that she knows who he is. Well, Nancy's like, he's coming after us in our nightmares. And then the mom's like, well, you'll feel better once you get some sleep. And then, yeah, Nancy's freaking out. The mom slaps her. And then Nancy, like, walks out the door. And yep. then once again, her mom says, it's just a nightmare. And Nancy turns. She's like, that's enough. Which I just, that's enough.
That's enough. Where she's just like, he's coming after me now. And then just the video with the little girl where she's just like,
oh, yeah.
he's going to come out of the video and he's going to kick my ass.
Yeah,
like,
my ass.
She's like, that's exactly that.
I thought of that exactly. Like, I watched it again last night, too. And I was just like, that was the first thing. I was like, he's going to come out of there and he's going to kick my ass.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the bridge and you got those good old Ohio palm trees in the background.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about dreaming and how to control your dreams. Glenn's just like trying to, I can't remember what
the culture, dream journals.
Yeah, the dream journals and like what culture did you write that down?
I didn't.
I forgot to write it down too.
It's like they have an intent of when they go into their dreams.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, she asks like, what if they ever encountered a monster? He says, well, you just turn your back on it by taking away its energy. It disappears. You know, taking away all of the energy that you've put into this scary entity.
Mm.
If you take it away, it'll go away. And then Nancy's got a book about how to make booby traps.
Which is badass. She's like, you don't fuck this shit.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna fucking do it myself.
Yeah. No one else will fucking do it.
She's into survival. I love that. She's just like, well, gotta do something.
Yeah. She approaches her home after hanging out with Glenn, and there's bars on all of the windows. And the trellis is torn down, so Glenn can't come to her window. She can't get out once she's in. And she goes in and confronts her mom about all the bars on the windows. And she's just like, you know what? You know, it's clear that she has been doing some sippies herself. She invites Nancy down to the cellar to talk about Fred Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
She goes over to the furnace in the basement. And she pulls something out of it, wrapped in a cloth. And she explains to Nancy that Fred Krueger murdered 20 children in the neighborhood. And she explains that Fred Krueger was caught. He was freed due to a police error. Somebody like signed the search warrant wrong. Then a bunch of parents, including herself, they went and they caught him and they found him in his boiler room where he took all of the children that he killed. They lit the whole place on fire with him in it. And then she opens up the cloth to show that she has his knife gloves, you know, that he had made and that he's not going to, you know, he's not going to hurt her. She goes, "He's dead because mommy killed him." And I'm just like, whoa, okay.
Okay.
All right, Nancy's mom.
So during this part, there is a deleted scene where it is revealed that Nancy, Glenn, Rod, and Tina weren't always only children. They had siblings that were actually murdered by Fred Krueger.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like,
that would have been neat to keep that in.
Right? Yeah. Because it would make more sense why he's only coming after those four.
Yeah. Also, I had this thought with, so there's the 2010 version, right?
Oh, yeah. We watched the remake as well.
I never watched the remake. Is it disappointing?
Is
it a disappointment?
Well, uh-huh. Trigger warning to those who aren't murdered children. There, it's about molesting children instead of murdering children.
Oh. Because originally Fred Krueger is a child molester.
And that's what I read about it. And it was just like, but they never say it in the first movie.
They took it out because there was something going on at the time where they didn't like want to bring attention to that. So that's why they... just made him
something about.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's why they just decided to make him a murderer. But and
which it's funny how like somehow that's like less triggering.
Right? It's just like
well, they're dead, so they don't know pain anymore,
right? Like, woof.
Yeah. There were definitely scenes in the 2010 version where I was like, "Oh, yep, don't like that." I like literally like almost got up from the couch. Like it was like, "Oh, nope, mm-hmm. don't like the way that guy's touching that little girl."
Yeah. No. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, and it's like Robert Englund, like at first he gave his blessing to the guy who played Freddy and was like, "The torch has been passed," but then he saw the movie and was disappointed.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Like everyone was disappointed, like the main girl in it who plays Nancy. Like, she hated the movie so much, she almost quit acting.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's the one in the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she
she almost quit over that.
Yeah.
Real talk, I seriously, like, I got maybe 20 minutes into that movie and I couldn't finish it. Girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
I was like,
nope,
can't watch that.
It's a lot. I read the book first and the book is a lot. That and like The Lovely Bones are like those books that I was like, I should have just stopped.
That's what my mom has read The Lovely Bones a few times and I've never read it, but she's just like, you have to be in the right state of mind to read that book.
Yeah, I've read it. Yeah. There was something about that one though, the way that one's written where you just want to keep listening I listen to the audiobooks. But yeah, like I think I actually read that one as well.
It is a really good book, but yeah, it's
fucked up.
It is fucked up. But anyways, mommy killed him and it's okay, you can sleep now.
He's dead because mommy killed him.
Yep.
So, a weird way to talk to your 15-year-old. Right. Yeah. But of course, she has been doing sippies, so who knows?
That's true.
Sorry.
I almost just spit my sippies out.
Oh my gosh.
So Glenn is at his house across the street. He gets a call from Nancy, and he is just straight up rocking that crop top.
Oh.
Ugh. Ooh. Loves me a man in a crop
top. Oh, I cannot handle the 80s.
I love me a lady in a crop top. I love anybody in a crop top.
Rock the crop.
But God damn it, Johnny Depp. He's rocking it.
Not only is he rocking the crop top, but he's like watching TV and listening to music at the same time.
He's a multitasker.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is.
He's very talented.
Yeah, he is very talented.
He's a renaissance man.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't. I mean, and then later.
I don't know.
Anyways, Nancy calls him. Stand by your window so I can see you. And they're like super cute.
I love that. In the filming, they're actually across the street from each other.
Yeah, because they were just filming in a neighborhood in West Hollywood.
Really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that was for realsies. They were across the street.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Which is like unheard of.
Yeah. Heather Langenkamp, she said that it was like really nice, that sort of connection, like because they were boyfriend and girlfriend. So, you know, and they're both like going through it.
Yeah.
She knows who the killer is, and she's asking him, okay, here's what I need you to do. Come over. You need to meet me at midnight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fall asleep, and I'm going to grab him. And then when I bring him out, you're going to have to, you're going to get him. Hit him with a baseball bat, whatever, your job. And then she says, like, if she can't, then they can all relax because she's going nuts anyway. And I love this part. It's cute. Johnny Depp says, well, I can save you the trouble. You're as nutty as a fruitcake. I love you anyway.
Oh, so sweet.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep. But
he promptly falls asleep.
Right away.
He's a good sleeper.
Yeah. His mom comes in. He's listening to music and watching TV. And she's like, how can you do that? He's a Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
Apparently. And then he says, Miss Nude America is on.
What?
He says, Miss Nude America is on. And then she's like, how are you going to hear what she's saying? He's like, who fucking cares?
Who cares what she has to say?
And then the mom is like, don't be a smart guy.
How did I miss that? Miss Nude America?
Miss Nude America is going to be on the tube tonight. Uh-huh.
Nude America. Mm-hmm. Is that a for real thing, or he's just being silly and it's actually Miss America?
I wouldn't doubt for a second if it was actually a thing.
I mean, the 80s.
Oh, and now we want
glow, am I right?
But yeah.
Glow is so...
I know, and then the mom's like, don't be such a smart guy.
Boys will be boys.
If my kids said that to me, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to take this TV away from you.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't get to see anyone naked unless you care about what they're saying.
Exactly.
And I'm taking your Wi-Fi.
Oh, and that's another thing about this movie is that their ways of communicating with each other are so limited. And that's what like makes it even scarier, because nowadays, like, it's so easy to get a hold of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's that part where like the dad like takes the phone off the receiver so she can't call anymore.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. The mom is talking to Nancy, and Nancy seems like she's falling asleep. But when the mom's walking out, she's like grabbing all like the coffee mugs and pots. Did you find something out about Miss Nude America?
I did. Okay. Well, I found out. A couple of things. So, Miss Nude America is a movie from 1976. First of all. Also, there's Miss USA winners for PETA. Four crown holders pose naked.
PETA?
For PETA.
Oh, that's a protest thing. People will go naked down the runway or go naked random places.
Oh, okay.
As an anti-fur thing.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, it says, in a video for PETA, the Miss USA winners posed naked alongside a Miss USA sash and crown to lend their support to the animal rights organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not seeing... Oh, we have behind the scenes at Miss Nude Australia.
Hey.
Naked beauty queens, former Miss USA winners stripped down for PETA. Why the winner of Miss Nude World 2018 changed careers. Melania Trump's nude modeling pictures. I don't give a fuck.
God, not Ooh. A surprising thing.
Ugh, nude festivals, big breaks for blowjobs. What is happening?
Big breaks for blowjobs.
But yeah, it would appear that Miss Nude America is a movie from 1976. I wonder if it's a porno. I bet it's a porno.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, the mom's okay with it. Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Uh-huh. Oh,
gross.
And then, so the mom's walking out with like all of her coffee mugs, a coffee pot. And then once the mom closes the door, Nancy gets out of bed, pulls another coffee pot out from underneath her.
A whole ass coffee maker.
Yeah. And like, wouldn't the mom, I guess it would smell like coffee anyways, because there's like a shit ton of coffee in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's that like distinct.
Fresh
like,
brewed coffee smell.
And you also like, it makes noise too.
The perking.
Percolating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Nancy tries to call Glenn, and the dad's like, nope, you got to be stern with him. And that's when he takes the phone off the receiver again.
He regrets that.
It sounds so lame, but just the way that we are living now with like technology and all the different ways that we could do different things. And then like watching a movie like this where it's so stressful and having like limited.
Like having no way to contact someone.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And we also grew up with landlines. We grew up with that shit.
Yeah.
I remember when I got my first, like, my phone in my own room. Like,
I never got one in my own room.
It didn't last very long, but I had a phone in my own room for, like, maybe a few months.
Yeah. I had a computer, but not a phone in my room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like even like a separate line where like people could call me later.
I had like, friends that had their own line and I was so fucking jealous.
Yeah,
we had a business line, but not my line.
Like I said, it didn't last very long. Yeah. But yeah, like growing up with that, but also just being so accustomed to being able to contact someone whenever you need to. Mm-hmm. Now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just wild.
Yeah. A time before the text message.
Yeah.
A time before the do not disturb button.
Right? Mm. Email me.
Nancy's trying to call, and then she calls. No, the phone rings, and then she hears the she's like, no. Uh-uh. And then she rips the phone out of the wall, and then she's like, oh, great. You know, like,
yeah, I just fucked myself.
God damn it. She, like, opens the door. And then the mom, what is she doing?
She's pulling vodka out of the linen closet.
Mm-hmm. And
lady.
Yeah. And then the phone starts ringing again. She's like, what? What's going on? And then she answers it. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy. And then, like, the fucking prosthetic.
Phone.
Yeah, leaky phone.
Goop.
It's goop, a goopy licky phone.
Oh my god. Just like watching, because I watched a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and just like watching her do that take over and over again.
I bet it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really funny. Oh, and then licky. She loved it and she wanted to take it home. And
the goopy phone?
Yeah, the licky phone.
I mean, I would have wanted to take the licky phone home.
Right? And they were like, that's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she got to keep it.
I think so, yeah.
I'm so glad that she got to keep it.
Yeah, me too. They were like, oh, that's weird. I was like, why not? It's like,
yeah.
It's like the
best
line.
Where else is it going to go?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
I'm your boyfriend now.
And then she's trying to go out and the door's locked and she's like, her mom's just loaded.
Loaded. You'll get some sleep tonight if it kills me.
Well, it will.
Yep. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Locked, locked, locked.
Oh, mom. The mom doesn't even have the keys on her, so whatever.
No.
And then she just knows Glenn is dying. And she's like, Glenn!
Yeah.
And then Glenn is sleeping, and then he just gets pulled into the bed, and then just...
It's that iconic scene.
Just blood spewing all over the ceiling and the walls.
Blood volcano.
Yeah, blood volcano. Blood geyser.
Yep.
The mom walks in. Could you imagine? Like, great reaction. Because that's like, and then just looks like Glenn sitting on the bed, but there's all this blood, like.
Just shooting out of it.
And it's like, how would that even happen?
How would you process that?
Also, there's not that much blood in a body.
Right?
No. See, that was something I thought about too when I first saw it. I was like, yeah, it's scary. But then I was like, how much blood is actually in a human body? I bet it's not that much.
Not a barrel's worth.
Yeah.
Not an entire volcano's worth, that's for sure.
No. What was it? They had 3 barrels, right?
It was 500 gallons.
Holy shit balls. Yeah.
I have the exact number in my notes, but I think it was 500 gallons.
Yeah, wow. We'll talk about that
later.
Oh, God.
But yeah, anyways, so blood, volcano, and then ambulance.
Ambulance.
And they're like, you don't need a stretcher, you need a mop.
Oh, man. It's so insensitive.
Seriously.
Just so much.
Is that when the dad arrives, Nancy's dad?
Yep.
Anyone? I can't with her dad.
Oh, my gosh. The whole thing with her dad and also the other cops. Like, she calls Glenn's house to mm-hmm. talk to her father.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I want to tell you about my plan. She tells him, like, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to get this guy and bring him out of my dream. I need you there to arrest him. I need you there. Like, she makes him promise that he's going to be there. He's like, of course, I promise. You know, he doesn't fucking do it.
Nope.
And
so when she's asking him, she's like, okay, I need you to wake me up in 20 minutes. When she says 20 minutes, there's exactly 20 minutes left in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
I know, right?
Oh, I like that.
But anyways.
Neat.
Dad sloughs her off.
Yeah, he's all just kind of like, yeah, I promise, you know. But, you know, he's like, oh, my daughter's a nutcase. Like, she hasn't been sleeping for 7 days.
Yeah. Oh, and she's got monsters under the bed.
Yeah. He's like, I've got a job to do here, you know. But he does make sure that one of his deputies is out on the lawn watching the house in case something happens.
Dumb.
Which, A little too late, buddy. Get it together. So we've got a good old-fashioned booby trap montage.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't love a montage?
I fucking love a good montage.
Give me those wires.
Yeah. And she's like, fuck.
Hooking it up.
Yeah, the way she's doing it, I was like, that is so hot.
Right?
She knows exactly what she has a plan. She knows exactly how she's going to lure him through the house and what he's going to go through. Just like Home Alone.
Exactly. You know? Just like Home Alone, which I've never seen. I know. Okay, we know this. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm so sorry.
But again, I'm going to strap you down to my couch and make you watch Disney films.
That's fine. So. Is Home Alone Disney? It doesn't matter.
It's all on Disney, right?
It's on Disney, right? I don't know.
Everything that's on Disney Plus is owned by Disney, right? Because Disney owns everything.
That makes sense. Yeah, it fucking owns everything.
Yeah.
I was saying about this booby trap montage, if it was supposed to be midnight when she and Glenn met out front, and she's planning to be out of her dream by 12:30, it's wildly impressive that she set up this elaborate trap in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, she did.
So there's that, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
very impressive.
This is Nancy we're talking about.
My grandmom's name was Nancy. Aww. She was amazing. Anyway.
That's a good name.
And then we have a touching scene with Nancy and her drunk mom. And
what does she pull out of the covers?
It's vodka. And look at what we got here. You know, it's like I pulled this out of my dream. Anyway, sorry.
She has vodka in her dreams.
And she's like putting her mom to bed and whatever. And then she is starting to get ready to go to sleep. And she's setting this timer on her watch for, it was 10 minutes or 20 minutes?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
And then she goes to sleep.
Yes. And she's in her dream. And she goes directly to the basement in her home to retrieve Freddy's knives from the furnace. But they're not there anymore. And so she goes into another door that's in the basement that leads to his iconic boiler room.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's there. She's hearing her friends' voices, which is what she's following to try and find Freddy. Because she knows that he's using that to kind of like lure her in.
Yep.
And she can't find him. So she starts like shouting out to him, trying to lure him to her. And then she finds Glenn's headphones covered in blood. And then she gets all fucking aggro and shouting into the void, trying to get him to come to her.
She's like, come, you know, she's like, you know what? Just get the fuck out here. Let's get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah. Come at it.
And then he pops up. Okay. He pops up. She loses him. And then she finds him again and tackles him in the front yard.
I love that part because when she like falls off and then she's like in her front yard. And then she's like looking for him when she's almost at the door. And you think she's going to like go in, but she just like runs back, fucking jumps
just
on him.
Just fucking tackles that motherfucker.
She's like, fuck you.
And after
left to lose, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. And after she tackles him, she immediately wakes up without him. Oh, here we go. Wakes up without him. JK, he's behind you, bitch.
Uh-huh.
She manages to lock him in her room and then set up the trigger for her trap for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she is hanging out the windows as much as she can, calling out to her dad, who's across the street. It is falling on the not even deaf ears of the deputy. He is just like straight up listening to her, looking at her. She's screaming for help. And he's like, well, I guess I better go get her dad.
Seriously. And well, at first he's like, don't worry, everything is fine. And then it's like a few times, like she's running around the house, like setting off all these traps. And then finally, like he's like, well, I guess I better go get it. And he only comes because the house is on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she goes down into the basement. She's like, Freddy throws gasoline on him, lights him on fire. And then that's when the dad decides to come over.
Yeah.
Is when the house is on fire.
Should we talk about that stunt person?
Yeah, I guess now's a good time. So Tony Caesar, he is like the man on fire. The TV show, The Movies That Made Us, so awesome.
Need to watch it. You all need to watch
it. Yeah, everyone needs to watch it. Because that's what I like about this movie, is that this movie put everyone on the map. Wes Craven wasn't known. New Line Cinema was, anyways, we'll talk about that. So this guy, stuntman Tony Caesar, he was like the fire guy back then. And it's funny, the way that they worded it in the movies that made us is, let's see, he was forged in the flames of movies like Swamp Thing, The Thing, and The Terminator.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And he also did Ghostbusters, too. So he's pretty legit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fire guy.
Yeah, he was the fire guy. Like, if you wanted a guy on fire.
What's his name?
Tony Caesar.
Yeah.
Tony started the fire. Yeah. For real. Because he's always a fire. He's never not on fire.
Right.
Sorry.
This guy, he was fucking insane. What he was supposed to do was just go across the floor and drop at the bottom of the stairs, right? What he did, this is a quote from Jim Doyle, the effects guy. He's like, fucking Tony. He ran up the stairs, stopped, fell back down, got back up. No, this guy's on fire the entire time.
He's just on
one
fire.
One take, yeah.
On fire.
God damn.
And then he falls, he gets back up again, goes halfway up the stairs, and then lays down. And then they put him out.
Yeah, his cue to put him out was to lay down.
Yeah, and he just kept getting up, and they were like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, how did the shot look? And then Wes Craven came over to him and was like, I am so happy you're in my movie.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, so, that's so much fun.
Tony Caesar, yes. He's... The fire guy.
The fired guy. He is seemingly down for the count.
Uh-huh.
But now the basement's on fucking fire.
She gets her dad, and then all of a sudden there's fiery footsteps going up the stairs. He's after mother.
Mother!
This fucking part, man.
I can't with her screaming.
I know.
Lindsay, shut up!
Screaming. She's screaming up the stairs. And then, oh, this part, it's so weird.
It's so weird. I don't understand.
They turned, like, Ghostbusters on it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it took a weird turn. So what happened was Freddy's on fire, and he's on top of the mom. The dad puts him out, but then Freddy disappears, and the mom's all burnt, and she gets lowered into this...
glowing chasm.
Yeah. And
ooh, good description.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Yeah. I use the word goopy a lot in my notes.
Then the bed's solid again.
Dreams, nobody tried to grab her. They just watched her like go. I mean, yeah. I guess you never know how you're gonna react, right? When your mom is being lowered into an otherworldly glowing chasm,
right?
Into her bed.
Yeah.
After being burned by a monster.
Exactly. So I don't really know.
Your mom / ex-wife.
Yeah. He's like, whatever. I don't have to pay alimony.
Oh, no.
He's like, that drunk ass bitch.
Oh, shit. Now this crazy kid's going to have to come live with me.
Yeah. Nancy's like, you know what? I know what I have to do. She ain't scared of him no more.
Nope.
Hell nah.
And then she like shuts the door. She has her back turned to the bed, and he like comes up in this like sack that's supposed to be the bed spread.
It's supposed to be like the sheets.
Yeah, it's a fucking weird sack, and he like climbs out of it all weird. And then he's like, I'm gonna like kill you slow. He's like saying all this shit. She's like, I know your secret. The whole thing was just a dream. And I'm like, The whole time? And just like what Glenn was saying, like she took the power away from Freddy. And as he was like, gonna stab her, he disappeared.
I wrote, she took that little bitch's fucking energy away.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Or did she?
Or dun, dun, dun. Because the next... Cut to.
Well,
she just opens the door and walks out, and it's...
I was like, is this an arrow, but without you holding the bow? Yeah.
She opens the door.
And everything is suspiciously back to normal.
Yeah.
It's so bright out. And her mom is alive, and she's going to quit drinking. Her friends are alive, and Glenn's convertible has a weird red and green striped top.
Mm-hmm. That just happened to smack shut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Lock. And then all of a sudden, nothing's happy anymore.
Windows are rolling up without their doing.
Yeah.
And they're clearly trapped inside this car.
Yeah.
And it drives away.
Yeah.
It drives away without anybody being in control of it. And her mom is just standing there smiling, and she just gets fucking ripped into the window and the door.
The tiniest window.
The tiniest window. She's gone. Fiend.
Figure it out.
Figure it out for yourselves,
seriously.
Y'all. It's just like...
stupid little girls jump roping.
Ugh. Singing the fucking
bing,
rhyme.
Bing,
oh, God.
Bing.
Fuck.
Believable.
So before we get into production facts, if any of you out there remember that news program where the news anchors are reporting the news while they're taking off their clothes, please email and let us know what it is.
Please. Because we've been talking about it.
Anyways, so we got The Movies That Made Us on Netflix, IMDb, Mental Floss, Screen Rant, BuzzFeed, YouTube, Movie Nerd, The Thing. Those are my sources. I'm going to tell you guys a story.
Tell me a story.
I'm going to preface this story. Here's the prologue. The birth of the VCR, or as I like to call it, a VHS player. That's the movie market became really saturated, especially with horror movies. Everyone was making a horror movie. It was the same fucking formula, you know, low budget. With that in mind, our story begins with a man named Bob Shea.
Oh, Bob.
He was a distributor and also a wannabe movie producer. Heather Langenkamp, she described him as like a fast-talking guy from New York City. They said he had a trunk full of B and C movies. Then he would go around to different colleges and like sell people movies. And yeah. Heather Langenkamp said that he was like one of those guys that would like open their coat and yeah. he'd just have like all these movies.
Yo, that's that classic fucking selling bootleg DVDs uh-huh. out of the trunk of your car. I have mm-hmm. seen that several times in my life. People selling like bootleg VHSs out of the trunk of their car.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's amazing. I know. Oh, yeah. Bob Shea.
I know, right? So he got started. He started making money because he started distributing a movie called Reefer Madness.
Oh, no. Not Bob Shea.
Yeah, he noticed that the copyrights were off and he was able to just... spread it out to the world, and that's like
make where, your paper, Bob Shea. I'm on team Bob Shea right now. Right? I really hope that he doesn't turn out to be a jerk.
He's not.
You make your paper, Bob Shea. Come yeah. on.
Bob Shea met a producer named Sarah Risher. She said that she had a little more experience than she actually did, and Bob Shea said, "I want to start my own production company." He decided to name it New Line Cinema. Very beginning, he's just like, all right. He's like, I want to get into production, and you know how to run it, so run it, you know?
<Uh-oh>. And she's like, yep, got it.
Yeah, because she's in The Movies That Made Us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think this movie is cool, because it started a lot of things for a lot of people. He's like, I want to start this production company, name it New Line Cinema. Now I want to talk about Wes Craven. So he was unknown, relatively unknown at that point. He was raised in a really religious household, and he actually wasn't allowed to go see and watch movies.
Any movies? Uh-uh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it wasn't even until his 30s when he decided to move to New York and get into the film industry.
Huh.
And so he was just bopping around, you know, living life as a struggling editor. He met this director called Sean Cunningham, and then they started making scandalous movies with
each other.
I thought
you were going to be like, they started making out.
That would be hot. Sean Cunningham is the guy who directed Friday the 13th.
Hell yeah. So they started making scandalous movies together. Yeah. And, I love that.
And Wes Craven was in, he had like a, he was at the very beginning of one of the movies. His name was Abe Snake.
Uh-oh.
And that's like what his credit was.
Abe Snake?
Yeah, Abe Snake. And so, yeah, they did that. Then he started making films like Last House on the Left. And then he made The Hills Have Eyes. He heard a story. Emily will get into that. And that's where he started writing Nightmare on Elm Street. He, you know, thought he was breaking the mold of this formula that they were just stuck in, this cycle of formula. So that script floated around for about 3 years before it got picked up by Bob Shea. New Line Cinema was on the verge of bankruptcy. Bob Shea had put, he had everything. He had, they said he had his life writing on this production company, writing on this movie. He met with Wes Craven, and then they agreed to make the movie. He only really had a budget a little over $1 million. I think it was like $1.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, so it wasn't a lot of money.
That's insane.
I know. And
right.
Bob had said, if this movie doesn't go, then New Line is finished.
They're finished now, though, right?
Mm-mm.
No,
they're still kicking.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're like one of the biggest
for
like horror movies.
Yeah. Sarah and Wes went to LA to start casting the movie. Bob Shea went to New York to find funding. Enter Robert Englund. The only things he was in was he played a comedy relief alien called V. So he went into this audition and he wanted to make it himself. He's like, I have a weird face anyways. So he took some cigarette ash and mixed it with his saliva and like rubbed it underneath his eyes to make his eyes seem like sunken in.
Ew.
And then he went to his car and like got the dipstick and like rubbed the oil in his hair and like slicked his hair back.
This guy knows what's up.
And then when he was in the audition, his game plan was just to stare at Wes Craven and not blink.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, that's creepy.
That's definitely going to. I mean, we talk about the guy who played the creeper,
mm-hmm.
and he was like licking people. So,
exactly.
You know.
And yeah. And then Robert Englund said that by the time he got home, he had a call waiting on his answering machine.
Nice.
Yeah. Wes Craven, his daughter was watching one of his movies called Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
She had asked him, like, why do women always have to fall in your movies? Like, they aren't that stupid and they aren't that clumsy. So from that...
That's awesome!
Yeah. And so from that day forward, Wes's movies, not only do the women not slip and fall when being chased, but they stand up and fight back. And
fuck
so...
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wrote, thank you, Wes's daughter. She had a lot to say and he actually listened. Like when Johnny Depp auditioned for the role and she told her dad, if you don't cast him, I'm running away from home.
I love that. Yeah, that's so great.
I absolutely loved how, like, when she said that to him, he was like, oh, I'm completely changing the way that I, because then you think about all of his other horror movies
mm-hmm.
and there's always like the main.
Oh my gosh. What a great, like,
there's
little snippet.
Bob hustled, found financing for the movie, but it was a home movie company. It didn't work out fairly quick because they were really apprehensive about the movie that they were making.
Right.
And so the producers, Sarah Risher and John Burroughs, they were tasked with telling the crew, we need 2 weeks to find funding, but that means you're going to be working for free for about a week. And the ones that couldn't work for free, John Burroughs actually paid those people out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Yeah. He said that he, all in all, it was like $8,000 or $9,000 that he paid people.
Wild.
But everyone else was like, okay, you know, they got nothing going on. Mm-hmm. With everyone on board, it was time for the first like production meeting. Wes's agent, though, told him not to go because there was no guarantee that he would be getting paid. Bob followed through and got some more financing.
Yeah, Bob.
And this one didn't fall through. So early summer of 1984, that's when they started shooting. The movie schedule, really short. It was only shot in 32 days.
Wow.
Amanda Wiss, who played Tina, she said that it was a shorter schedule than most TV movies that she had done.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen Better Off Dead?
Uh-huh.
She played the bratty girlfriend who broke up with Lane.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was watching it and I had no idea, rewatching it this week.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
That's one of my favorite movies. I love John Cusack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie.
So much. And his sister, Joan Cusack.
I know. Fucking dream team,
so
man.
So fucking amazing.
Seriously.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
No, you're good. I guess I should have brought this up when they were talking about the boiler room scenes. Those boiler room scenes, they were shot in the basement of Lincoln Heights Jail.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Which, shortly after they shot there, closed down because it had asbestos. So
oh,
they
God.
Were all.
Oh, no.
And one of the guys was like, it's fine. You have to die for your art, right?
You too. You know. Oh, man. I mean, that explains why it was such like a huge freaking boiler room
right?
and everything. Because mm-hmm. it was in the basement of a jail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Asbestos.
I know.
Oh, God.
There was a lot of debate about the ending.
Yes.
Wes Craven wanted the ending to just be, it was all a dream. She's got her friends back. Everything's happy. Freddy's dead. But Bob Shea said, we want to keep it open-ended because of sequels. They ended up shooting like 8 or 9 different endings.
No shit.
Yeah. They were running out of time, like shooting. Like Wes Craven asked his friend Sean Cunningham to come and help shoot the remainder of scenes. Like so many endings. Like there was one where like Nancy looks over and Glenn's gone and Freddy's driving the car and like stuff like that. And the mom being pulled through the door by Freddy was everyone's, like, they did not like that.
That was the least favorite, and that's the one that got in. Uh-huh. Why? Because I don't. Gonna fucking. Okay. Please.
Oh, I've got. Tell me. So every Wes Craven, Jim Doyle, the guy who did the special effects, like in the movies that made us, he's like, it's so bad. He's like, it's awful. And then another producer was like, it's so cheesy. Like everyone was like, it's awful, awful ending.
It's terrible. It's so bad.
Like, but it makes it so good.
Yeah.
For how great the movie is. I know. You're just like, you like sit there and you're like, okay. I'm sorry, what?
Wait, like, to end it on that. Because the effects are so, like, cool, yeah, for, like, what it was. Rick Shane was the editor, and he said that Bob and Wes were really, really competitive with each other. Because, you know, they're both trying, yeah, to run shit. And
he's the creative, and Bob is a wannabe producer, yeah, who's actually getting his wish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's hustling. It's really,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he's crushing it.
But there was a lot of back and forth about the ending. And then Rick Shane was just like, I think Bob just wore Wes down. And Wes was just like, he could put whatever fucking ending he wants. And then he's like, I'm done.
And Bob chose that one? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Okay. Seriously, I know. I'm like, that, okay, all right. There was so many, like the other endings that they were shooting sounded so much better than the choices.
Choices.
So to save the movie, because it was still, I mean, fucking, I'm sure Bob Shay took a second mortgage out on his house to help pay for this movie. Like that's how much he had writing on this, yeah, movie. So he actually set up a screening with the Paramount executives.
A screening?
A screaming? Screaming. Oh. Did I say screaming?
You did.
You did say screaming.
So they set up the screaming. I'm keeping that in.
Dear Lord.
You're welcome.
The screening is going. Rick Shane is in the back. Like he's putting all the shit together. Like he put everything together. So he's in the back, like making sure that it's, because it's not a finished film. He's still editing together, oh, as it's, no, like going.
That, and it's old school film where it, yeah, has to be like cut into each one.
Yeah. Literal,
like,
cut too. Yeah. You know?
And so Bob calls Rick from the production booth and he asks him, what ending did they put in? Like, did they put in the ending where she's getting pulled through the door? And Rick was like, no, we didn't put that one in. And Bob was like, I told Frank Minusco, who is the CEO of Paramount at the time, I told him about that ending and he loved it. So we got to put that in there. But like Rick didn't have, he only had that one ending because it was already cut in.
Yeah.
Rick had to call his assistant. And there's only 40 minutes left in this screening.
God damn it. I wish my eye rolling could be audible. Right? Like,
seriously. I thought you were going to break
your neck.
That's a
good one. That's a good audio
for my eye roll.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's perfect. Rick Shane has to call his assistant saying, you need to grab these endings and come to the theater now. It's going to take her 20 minutes at least to get there.
Oh, no. Okay?
So she's there. She's got the endings. Rick's like, I don't have time to cut this in. We're going to have to stop the movie. And Bob was like, okay, yeah, let's stop the movie.
I fucking
can't. And the part where they stopped it was like at a really intense part. And then they just cut it off saying, we're going to have to, you know, we're having technical difficulties, and then start it back up. It, they didn't go for it. Paramount passed on it. Yeah.
Because they had to stop
just,
it?
Yeah, just because it didn't flow. Like they,
it didn't line up.
Yeah, it didn't line up. They weren't prepared. You know, it made them look really bad.
God damn it.
I know, fucking Bob.
Bob. Bad choice, Bob.
Yeah, choices.
I mean,
but now Paramount is suffering the consequences of passing that up.
That's true. The same way that, like,
Paramount has done pretty well for themselves.
No, I mean, yes, but I'm sure
they could be bigger.
They regret not having that dollar.
Yeah, I bet just like how Blockbuster fucking regrets not buying Netflix when they had the chance.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Blockbuster, Netflix, ma'am.
But Bob, He's a hustler.
He's a fucking hustler.
He's a hustler. He gets in contact with someone named Sue Salter, and she's like, was the top PR person in New York at the time. Mm-hmm. So she was just did press and would bring up that movie. You know, for a low budget film, it's actually really good. And there was just rumors and word of mouth, like everyone was hustling. And by opening night, they made back their entire budget.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's become like one of the most iconic movies. In total, Nightmare on Elm Street with all the sequels grossed $472 million.
Holy shit.
And everyone involved in New Line says, New Line is the house that Freddy built.
That's the one thing. I looked up nothing production facts wise, but that was the one thing I accidentally saw.
Yeah.
Where like New Line was like, it was not going to be a thing. It was real fucked. Yeah. And then like this happened and they call it the house that Freddy built. Yep. I love that.
Yep.
So good.
All right. I'm going to end it with the practical effects.
Hell yeah. I love this. This is what I've been really, mm-hmm. I've been really excited
I know.
About.
So Jim Doyle, he did the effects for $57,000.
Isn't that money dollar sign like just ridiculous?
Yeah. Yes.
For everything that happened in this movie.
$57,000.
Wow. A horror film is effects, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And Wes Craven.
Or psychology, you know? If it's not effects, it's like the implication.
Yeah, they go hand in hand, in my opinion. Yeah. You know? Like, they, like.
Seriously, like, it's about the effects, like, even if it's just gore. And Jim Doyle even said, like, I don't think Wes Craven realized the type of effects that were going to go into this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Tina's fucking all over and the fucking blood volcano.
Blood volcano!
Yeah. So first I'm going to start out with Tina's death scene. I'm going to preface this with, when Wes Craven was asked about why he would kill a hero girl 11 minutes into the film, he responded saying, that is how I will then own everyone for the rest of the film.
Okay. See, I took it as like a weird, like owning the character. And I was like, what?
Yeah. No, like
okay.
Owning the, like,
the audience.
Like,
yeah.
And the way the death is like,
it's true, because as soon as you realize how serious the dream is, then you're hooked.
Horrifying.
It's horrific and brutal.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's one of those things where, like, you're watching it, and, like, the thing that you think is, like, well, we're 11 minutes in. Where else are we going with this?
Exactly.
You
know?
You can't stop watching it.
I can't believe that's only 11 minutes in. You feel like you're way further into the film than 11 minutes at that
for
point.
Real.
That's what I like about this movie. Just gets right into it, and it moves fast.
It goes
and,
quickly.
Yeah. So do you want to know how they did the death scene?
I really do.
Okay.
I really, really do.
So they made a revolving room, a room on hinges. Everything was stuck to the wall. Everything. It was stuck to the room. The idea came from the royal wedding where Fred Astaire is dancing all over the room. They kind of did a similar effect. And then it wasn't mechanical, so they actually had to rotate it by hand. So there's like a group of dudes just like moving.
Are you serious?
This room that's on hinges.
So cool.
And fucking Rod. So he was harnessed to the wall.
I was
Rod,
about to say.
The boyfriend. Okay. And they said his hair was like lacquered down. The only thing that wasn't stuck, like harnessed in, was Tina.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So like literally she was just like, they were moving around and she was just being thrown around in this cube.
And they said that the camera was bolted to the wall and the cameraman was like harnessed in, and then he would just go with the room and film.
Her just tumbling about like a fucking like tumble cycle on a goddamn dryer.
Wow.
Yes.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Wow.
That. Yeah. And
I love that.
And so she
feels so bad for her.
Yeah.
And me too.
She said she didn't know. She said she couldn't stand up because she was like, oh my God, I'm on the ceiling. Like, she didn't know which way was up, which way was down. Mm-hmm. So there was a
serious vertigo.
This is such a roller coaster.
This fucked her up, man. Like, she said that, like, I didn't have to pretend to act scared. I was scared.
Wow.
Yeah. So at one point,
I wonder, like, all those screams are probably real. Like,
absolutely.
She had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, like, seriously, like, she didn't know what to expect. And then on top of that, there's, like, you know, because it's not all the way enclosed. And she's like, am I going to fall out of this fucking room? You know?
See, this is like my favorite thing about this podcast is like not looking into, like, I've seen this movie a lot of times. I have not looked into any of this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, but I love not looking anything up and like you guys just like fucking blowing my mind with shit.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at you as if like I looked it up too, but really all I did was watch the movies that made us. Yeah. I'm like, I know, right?
Well, that's what I'm excited for with like your bit, because I only know like just because it mentioned it, but
mine's
just like
a lot more sad.
Again, one of those movies where I'm like, really?
How? What?
Please, for the love of God.
Well, when I was looking them up and everything, and I was like, Nightmare on Elm Street, and I like clicked on it and I was reading about it. I was like, oh, yeah, we gotta fucking do this.
At one point, because she was like, I couldn't stand up because I was like, I'm on the ceiling, because she was.
Right.
And Wes Craven, there was like a trap door and he like poked his head out of this trap door and he was like, I'm here. You can see my head. You are level. You are on the ground. Here you are. This is one of the pictures. And he's like trying to help her.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Oh, poor thing.
I know. It's just like not even understanding like where you are in reality.
Yeah, like and Heather Langenkamp said that was by far the scariest scene that she's ever been a part of in her entire acting career.
And Heather Langenkamp wasn't even the one who was, she wasn't even Tina.
Sorry, hang on.
So then there's this one. So before each take, Wes Craven was like, this is up, this is down. You know? So this just kind of gives you the sense of what, like how she was, what was going on.
What the fuck, man? Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, here's so queer.
Oh, here, sorry. That's messed up. Mm-hmm.
So that's how they did that.
That's, I love that.
The effect where like Freddy's like coming through the wall, you know? Mm-hmm. That was actually just a hole in the wall with latex over it.
Was it? Uh-huh. Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah, and it's actually Jim Doyle that's coming out, not Robert Englund.
Who's he again?
The effects guy.
That's right, okay.
Robert Englund really only had about 7 minutes of actual screen time.
No!
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I guess that does make sense. Yeah, he wasn't...
Yeah.
It was just a lot of effects.
Mm-hmm. Was it only when it was like showing his face?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Now I'm just imagining like that first part where he's chasing Tina 11 minutes in. Well, no, it was sooner than that. Anyway, it was the very beginning. And then like just like the weird like shots where he like shows his face real quick in the boiler rooms shots.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. 7 minutes. I wonder how much money that man has made in his lifetime.
Oh,
too much.
So much money.
Too much.
When they hired him, they signed him on to do sequels as well. They were like, if this has sequels, we want you and we don't want you going anywhere.
Wow. Well, yeah, he's fucking scary, dude.
Yeah. The amount of money that he's making from fan cons alone.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Just his stance even. Everything that happened. Again, everything that happened in this movie, it changed fucking everything.
It changed so much for so many people.
Yeah, and it changed like the horror genre in general because there was just that same fucking cycle.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's crazy too because I was watching this like deleted scenes thing on YouTube. They did it like all in one take. Like it was like action and then like he's coming through the wall. And then they're like, Nancy stirs. And then you go back, fade into the wall. Nancy looks up. And then it's
that's
really
wild.
Cool.
Yeah, like they're saying like, okay, and Nancy stirs. And she's like, you know.
That's wild,
like,
man.
And they're like, yeah, it's really fucking cool. Just the effects, like the shit that they could do nowadays is really cool. But this is just because it is really someone coming through the wall, just in latex, you know, just something about it.
Mm-hmm. I've always been so fascinated by practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
And you can see in the 2010 version with the CGI, it's just not as effective.
Yeah. Ew.
It, like, you can see, like, okay, that's too good to be true, therefore it's fake.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, like, even going back to just, like, Jeepers Creepers, like, the first two, and then you watch the third one.
Yeah.
The third one came out, what, in the early 2000s?
I think it was, like, 2017.
Yeah, late 2000s.
Yeah.
cut that out, whatever I said.
2017
came out in 2017, whereas the other ones were like 1999 and shit, mm-hmm. or whatever. I can't remember.
Yeah,
and
the like, difference in technology the is difference very in technology and obvious.
The third one just seems so overdone. Mm-hmm. Like, the plot is crap. It's mm-hmm. all focused on, like, special effects.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, terrible. Yeah. I'll still watch it because mm-hmm. I'm yeah. a chump. I'll but, like, can, you know. Yeah.
Where was I?
CGI.
Oh, yeah. So, in the 2010 version, the only scene that they did, like, they got better was the end scene with the mom.
Oh, really?
But yeah, like the, when he's coming out of the wall and like the CGI, like it just not as cool and not mm-hmm. as effective. Like
that it doesn't. Sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like
now, the 2010 version, is it a complete literal remake of the movie, the first movie, except instead of killing them, he's molesting children? Uh-huh.
Pretty much. Like yeah, it's okay. the same stuff. Just the character names are different, except for Nancy.
Okay.
It goes about it in a different way, but it's
yeah, it's the all same. About. Him molesting kids and then they like start to remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. And then he's like haunting them and Nancy is his first and
his favorite.
His favorite.
Ew.
And like he in her dream he ends up putting her in her white dress.
Yeah,
which is very much like the girls in the jump rope.
Yeah.
Like oh, she's God. Like one of those girls essentially in yeah. his mind.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a scene where he is like taking his claw hand and is like stroking down her body in the white dress, and I just could not deal.
No,
I couldn't was, deal.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
And then they're because the, all of those kids were molested by him, so it's mm-hmm. like they're all remembering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then like they the whole class of kids start getting killed off.
Yeah,
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's just.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, like worth watching because, like, you know, we're talking about it. But
right.
yeah,
but yeah, the original is better.
Yeah, go if you do watch it. Go into it like knowing that Robert Englund was disappointed. He had high hopes because he likes the actor that played Freddy.
Yeah,
but he was very disappointed in the movie.
Well, damn.
I know. Yeah.
What a letdown.
I know, such a letdown.
Tell me more facts.
Okay, so the bathtub scene, right?
Yes.
So this scene is really cool. So Jim Doyle, he built a bottomless tub in a bathroom set over a swimming pool. So he, I actually have a picture of
okay,
how it.
Okay, perfect.
So this is what it looked like, except she's laying on 2x4s.
Okay.
And there's more water underneath.
Okay.
Her. And
gotcha. So,
and he's underwater.
Okay. And that was Jim Doyle. It wasn't yeah. even.
Because
okay.
he had scuba experience.
Oh, like, okay.
He said that he had, like, was able, he held his breath up to a minute, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, he was sitting there. And so, and Heather was sitting in the bath. She said it was just so nerve wracking because this glove is sharp.
Yeah.
And homeboy's underwater, sticking his hand up.
In between her legs.
And
that's so crazy. The sort of shit you gotta do
right?
to make a movie of this caliber.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, I don't know. There's mm-hmm. something just so magical and yeah. fucked up about it.
It's movies like this that are in the show, The Movies That Made Us, where it's like you realize how much artistry goes into yeah. the film itself. Like there's something like this in they do the movie Elf and like how they different things to make it look certain ways to the camera.
Oh.
It's like just mind fuckery that is just so much talent.
Like oh, how like they made
his height
yeah. mm-hmm.
and everything with everyone else.
Yes. Like they talk about that a lot.
I love that in sort that of
show.
Shit.
Yeah.
But, fucking watch that show. Ugh, it's so great.
Nerdy stuff.
I'm
I love
definitely
it.
Gonna watch it.
Heather Langenkamp said that what she remembers the most were the sounds. Wes would tell Jim that he's going to bang on the tub when Wes wanted him to stick the claw out. She said altogether she was in that tub for 12 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the part where like Nancy plunges into the water, Jim said that because she was like kind of sitting on his knees with like the 2x4s that she had a washcloth and on her stomach, when it was on her stomach, he would drop his knees and then she would just fall in.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Can you imagine how horrific that is?
At least they had like a sign.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. About- Holy wow.
That's nuts.
It's not like in Die Hard. Have you seen Die Hard?
No.
Never mind then. Well, there's a part where like Alan Rickman is like hanging on the side of the building and then he falls.
I know about that scene.
Yeah. And he falls. In reality, he didn't know when he was going to fall.
That's so, as someone who has a really, really awful startle reaction, like that sort of thing is my absolute nightmare. The psychological aspects of a horror film and directors who like don't tell their actors about shit. That's so it's genius, but it's so fucked up.
What was that movie that we saw that
in The Strangers too?
The Strangers, yes, yeah. Where she didn't know.
Yeah, God, yeah. So messed up.
I should have said this when it happened, but the scene where Freddy's arms are like elongated.
Yeah,
it's just like two dudes on each side of the alley with fishing poles. Robert Englund is in the middle, and they're just fucking, they're like puppet arms.
No.
I love that.
Oh.
Just puppet arms on fucking fishing poles.
Oh my God.
Just a straight up living Muppet. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
That's crazy.
Let's talk about Glenn's death scene.
Let's talk about it.
They use the same revolving room for the scene.
Oh, okay.
Just like a different setup, yeah. But the same room.
Oh, so it, okay, I see why. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
So what it was that the room was upside down. Mm-hmm. So this bed was on the ceiling. There's a hole in the bed. There's like a big old faucet. Yep, they had with 500 gallons of blood through a spout in the hole, right?
Not real blood? Not real blood, right?
No.
Okay.
Oh, good Lord. I was like, could you imagine?
I was like, where did they get it all?
It's water with like caro syrup and corn. You know, how they make fake blood. Obviously, yeah. You can tell it looks like just dyed red water.
Could you imagine PETA would get involved so fast?
Oh, God.
And then we really would have a nude.
And then we would have the Miss Nude America.
Miss Nude America.
There you go.
Nightmare on Elm Street style.
I don't know why I initially thought for a second that you meant real blood. Can I just...
Well, because I was saying blood. I forgot to do quotations.
I also was just like...
I'm really good at storytelling. 500 gallons of blood, quote unquote blood. And then so the room's upside down. They're shooting it down, right? And then they have to rotate the room by hand, right?
Yeah.
What happens, like momentum and water.
Lots of water.
They lost control of that room.
Oh, no.
All that liquid spilled out and everyone was drenched. Fucking camera people were still strapped into the room.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't like move out of the way. It was run.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 500 gallons. Yes.
So they didn't have anywhere for that liquid to go.
Just out.
Out.
Yep.
Wow.
Good luck.
Yeah. I'm sure they had some sort of plan, but yeah.
You can see in the scene, like it all starts going in one direction.
Yeah.
I've seen that and I've always wondered. I'm just like, I wonder why it's going that direction.
Yeah.
Because it's literally falling out of the room.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know how it like has that shot of like the blood hitting the light fixture?
Yeah.
That light fixture had electricity. And the crew members that were pouring the water out, they got shocked.
No. This is... God. This is what I love about just like...
Crazy production facts.
Crazy production facts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
That is it.
Holy shit, man. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, hell yeah. Delightful. Would you guys like to hear about some inspiration for this movie?
I want it.
I'm going to make you guys sad. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Fascinated, I hope.
I mean,
interested at least.
We know what we're getting ourselves into if we're watching a movie like this. It's got to be based on something fucked up, right?
You always do this shit to me, Emily.
I'm not sorry. Okay. Before we get to the big stuff, some interesting real life inspiration that helped to build the monstrous classic that is The Nightmare on Elm Street. As the title of the movie suggests, Although it's never mentioned in the film, the teen characters of this movie all reside on Elm Street. Craven has gone on interviews claiming the real-world relevance of the title, Every Town Has an Elm Street, which of course makes it relatable in just about any town or city in America. But he goes on to talk about a specific Elm Street, the one that passed in front of the book depository where John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Craven claims that this is the spot in which, quote, the innocent world ended.
That is.
Yeah. So the idea of an innocent world ending plays greatly into the themes of the movie itself and Nancy's narrative specifically. After being targeted by this maniacal ghoul, seeking revenge for the crimes of her elders, she tries to explain what is happening and is rebuked over and over, needing to, quote, grow up in a split second by realizing that the fate of her loved ones lies solely on her. This one is a fun, little fun fact. Freddy Krueger's name itself is an almost identical match to Craven's boyhood bully, Fred Krueger, which is Krueger without the E. His demeanor is reminiscent, again, also of an experience that he had as a child, where while he was in his home watching a man walk by his window, the man stopped and stared with seemingly no other motive than to scare him, which made me think a lot of your... creeper move where you throw something into your car and stop and just stare at someone.
MK creeper to the max.
So while not necessarily an inspiration, A Nightmare on Elm Street was released in the early stages of the concept of stranger danger that started in the early 80s. The idea of children being taken, assaulted, or murdered in even the most safe-seeming neighborhoods was a blight on the country. This gave way to the idea that the movie drew inspiration from the Atlanta child murders. A horrific two-year span between 1979 and 1981, at least 28 children, teens, and adults were brutally murdered in and around Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Jesus.
Craven has denied this heartbreaking event was an inspiration for a story. We're going to move on from that and go to the actual inspiration. Craven has explained in interviews that his initial inspiration for the movie was born from an article in the LA Times that he read in the 70s about a boy and his family who had escaped the killing fields in Cambodia and fled to America as refugees.
Oh my God.
This boy was suffering so horribly from nightmares about the genocide of his people that he refused to sleep. He did everything in his power to keep from falling asleep, such as keeping a coffee maker in his room and using stimulants, like the movie. When one night he fell asleep watching TV, his family was beyond relieved and brought him to his room. During the night, they woke up to him sobbing and calling out. When they got to him, he was already deceased. Yeah. That implies that he had died while having a nightmare. This leads us to a phenomenon that was and has since been identified as simply sudden unexplained nocturnal death syndrome. While the article focused on a family who had escaped the killing fields during the Cambodian genocide by the Vietnamese, many of those affected were Hmong men residing in Laos, a neighboring island recruited by the U.S. CIA during the Vietnam War. This involvement in alliance with the U.S. came with persecution from the general population of Laos, of which the Hmong were a minority. This caused a strong influx of Hmong refugees to America. Since 1975, it's believed that at least 72 Cambodian, Laotian, and Vietnamese refugees in the U.S. have died from this mysterious ailment. The medical community has their ideas. A type of seizure or heart condition brings the condition on. Others have their own theories. We have, in Japanese, they have a term called, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but it's pakori, which loosely translates to demise with a snap.
Oh, snap.
And they, oh, snap indeed.
Oh, God. I didn't mean to be so insensitive. It just came out.
And this is a belief that a heart spasm is brought on by extreme stress. Some people believe that the deaths were brought on by chemicals that had been used on militant groups and civilian communities alike during the Vietnam War, but the information the medical community has to work with debunks that theory almost completely, just because almost all of the deaths attributed to a sudden unexpected nocturnal death syndrome have been men in their early adulthood. There were, I think they said that there was like only a few that were like older men, and there was only one woman who died from this sort of
interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
It kind of makes me think of like Inception, the movie Inception. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Long-ass time ago, though.
Yeah, like how they just have so many theories around sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. Yeah. If it were bioweapons related to, like, their deaths, there would have been a greater variety of affected victims.
Mm-hmm.
My last thing that I have is, because of the extreme concentration of Hmong men being affected by this phenomenon, the Hmong people have attributed the affliction to being cursed by their ancestral spirits for leaving their homeland after facing persecution.
Shit. Oh, God.
So, yeah. Aww. It's really, I know, I'm sorry. I'm like, brought it all the way down.
I just have to imagine that it's like these men that, like, just have extreme amounts of stress and they have a heart attack in their sleep. That's what I imagine. But I mean, obviously they would just say heart attack in the autopsy. Yeah. So that's weird.
Yeah.
I think they, what I had read was a lot of, they kept listing it as like having like
a cardiac, brain aneurysm,
cardiac insufficiency, which like people were like, they basically say that when they have no idea cardiac why they died. My sources are screenrant.com, history.com, and nostalgicreads.com.
That's cool.
That one actually was like super informative about like the history of it and everything.
Oh, so wow.
That was neat. But yeah, like I didn't want to go super, super into it because I could have like talked for like an hour about this because it's wild.
Yeah.
Just like I could have gone into the experiences of people like in Cambodia and Laos and everything like that. But I was like, I'm already pretty much making this pretty depressing as it is.
So in Laos, like, so it's in Laos or in Cambodia or both? Or does
it was in Cambodia.
Okay.
But during the Vietnam War, the US CIA were able to find people in Laos who would work against the Khmer Rouge that were like basically Pol Pot's army that were executing all of these people.
Wow.
And so they, of course, like I said, they were already a minority in Laos, the Hmong people. And so they faced like even more persecution for having worked with the US.
Oh, wow.
That brought a huge amount of people as refugees to the US.
Oh, wow.
But like, you know, the trauma that they experienced during the Vietnam War just compounded on their stress.
Wow.
And yeah, it's wild.
Do you know what I forgot to talk about in my facts?
What's that? Are you going to bring us back up again?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you
pull us out of this hole that I dug?
Do you want to know why Freddy Krueger's sweater is red and green?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
So,
is it Christmas? Are you going to ruin Christmas?
Here's
Christmas is already ruined.
I have a theory about that after I say this. Wes Craven read an article in Scientific American magazine that the human eye has difficulty recognizing those particular shades, red and green, side by side. So therefore, looking at it is subliminally unsettling.
Oh.
And here's, because then I was like, well, what about Christmas? You know, right? So
Christmas fucks everybody up.
Here's my theory about it. Freddies are like kind of dull red and green, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a scary movie setting, because your eyes have a hard time perceiving that those two colors, you're like, oh my God, that's really, really scary. But what if Christmas, it's a little brighter, it's happy. They're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Huh.
That's my theory.
I like that. I like that theory.
Yeah. Okay. Should we eat some Oreos?
We should eat some Oreos.
It's called cowboy candy. I don't really know. Courtney, why don't you explain to us what's in it?
Backstory. My parents are preppers since Y2K. Big deal. Mormons are very big preppers. So my mom is really into canning, and she does a lot of research on canning recipes. And there was one that she came across. It's called cowboy candy. And it's basically pickled jalapenos with a crap ton of other stuff. It's almost like a jellied jalapeno that's got like the sweet, the spicy, a little bit of tang, like not necessarily like vinegary pickled, but it definitely has the essence of it. But it's best served on a cracker with cream cheese and then a little bit of this on top.
I can attest to that. I just had it for the first time and it's very delicious.
Yeah.
It's
I amazing. Was like, Emily needs to taste it the way it's supposed to be tasted first yeah. and then on an Oreo. Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Griff, for bringing us a can of my mom's cowboy candy. Griff is so legit about this recipe that she went to my mother's house to help her make a big batch.
She brought us like 3 cans.
Yeah. Or jars. This is our last jar, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I know. So, I ate an entire jar to myself.
Hell yeah.
I never even tried it on crackers. Like it. I
you just eat it by itself. Just,
it was that good to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this. Noisy for a second.
Yep. Like,
I'm just going to do a single jalapeno slice on top.
I'm going to put mine in the middle of my Oreo. All right.
Well, that sounds really cool. So I'm going to do that too.
And do that as well.
Yeah. I feel good about this.
Me too.
I think this is going to be because spicy and chocolate are just.
Yep.
Right.
Good stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Salud.
And Solange. It's almost like adding a little bit of fruit to it, but mm-hmm. with a little spice aftertaste.
Hmm.
You know, there are mustard seeds in this.
Uh-huh.
And we've done mustard before.
We have.
And that was a good review. It's such an interesting aftertaste.
Right?
It is.
I think I need another one.
I think I need another one, too. I haven't decided.
Yeah, I'm like, is it good?
Because I'm not really even tasting it so much as I'm just, like, feeling the heat from it.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm, like, tasting, like, vinegary bad.
Not nearly as bad as some of the pickled stuff that we've tried on Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Let's not Which talk is why... about the caramelized onion.
What was the last thing that we ate on League of Their Own?
What was that?
You guys were like, it's not bad. And I'm like,
was it when we put it on pizza? No. That was Kinky Boots. Garlic? No.
Onions.
Red onions. I think this is
better than red onions for me.
It's definitely better than red onions. Mm-hmm. I like it. Like, I don't love it. I thought I was really going to be feeling it, but I like the heat with the chocolate.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be better than it was.
Mm-hmm. It was about what I imagined.
Yeah. So
I would give it, I was going to go with a solid 5, but I was just like, I feel like that's 5.8.
I'm still, what do you think, Court?
So the way that I think of things is 5 is the halfway point. So that means I don't hate it. I don't love it. If someone gave it to me, I would be like, okay. So that's where I'm gonna land with that. It's just a 5.
Yeah.
Anything like, okay, I want another, more than 5. Anything like, oh my God, never put that next to my mouth ever again.
Okay.
That's less than 5.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd say a 5 too.
Yeah.
We tried it so you didn't have to. Yep, but if you're feeling sassy.
Frisky.
Do
put
it.
Put a little spice in your life. Yeah, put a little
squirrely.
Spice up your life. All right. Emily, take us home.
I will. Hold on. 1 second. I gotta bring it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like our podcast and want to make sure other people get to hear us, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps us reach more listeners. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and wherever else you may listen to your podcasts. Our theme song was written and recorded by Paul. And if you love metal music, you can go and follow his band, Pathos and Logos, on Instagram at pathos.logos. You can follow us on Instagram at inspiredbymovies. On Twitter at inspiredby_pod and on YouTube at inspiredbymoviesthepodcast. We have options for supporting us if you care to. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/inspiredbymovies, or if you would rather a one-time donation, you can do so on Venmo at mkultra88. If you have any suggestions for movies or what to pair on Oreos and, you can email us at inspiredbythepodcast@gmail.com. We would love, love, love to hear anything about your experiences with a true story inspiring a movie. We'd also love to have any of our listeners on an episode if they have any expertise in the subject. And as Courtney's junior high vice principal always said,
make it a great day or not. The choice is yours.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.